UFG 証券の田中です。聞こえますでしょうか。
This is Tanaka of
聞こえます。
Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley.
そうですね。
Can you hear me?
今期の改めてご計画、
Yes.
ちょっと伺っても
Now,
大
I'd
丈夫で
like
すか。
to ask about the plans for this fiscal year. First,
今期今9%、トップライン
this
9%
top line
成長
growth of
中というと
9%.
ころで、ただ第4四半期だけ、
In,
見
if
てみ
we
る
look at
と、
just the fourth
売上
quarter,
高っていうのは為替影響を除きでプ
We
ラス
see the sales revenue increased by 1% and pre-GAAP it was about 2%.
ちょっとこう、モメンタム
そ
としてはやっぱり鈍化して、
it seems
売上
like
高の成
you're
長率が
slowing down in
売上のこ
momentum.
の9%
So when it comes to this 9% increase in revenues,
高いのか、
how certain are you of this?
コストの方を抑え込
And
む
also
と
what
いうお
For
話で、
costs, you mentioned that you're going to be keeping down the costs to current levels,
コストの10億円
but
を剥落
there
する。
is 1 billion yen extra
それ以
costs
外に、
incurred,
今
and
期コ
aside
スト
from
上
that,
がった要因、23年度コスト上がった要因というのがありますけど、為
there
替
was
影響、
the
円安で売上高の成
currency
長率、
factor that
コストの
increased the
上昇率、
cost
すごく
because of the
鈍化した
depreciation of the
変
yen.
革という印象はちょっと受けられ
So,
なくて、今期
I
コスト
didn't
の
feel
上昇
that
率
you'll
を
be able to
数
achieve your
字で示
plans
す
That easily, but what is your certainty of achieving this? If you could talk about that, that would be appreciated. Perhaps Kevin is the one who's spending the money, so perhaps you can explain.
Thank you, Mahendra. So we feel very good about it, quite honestly. Like Eva was suggesting, our business is one that Q4s are seasonally just very high for us. And what we certainly found is that sometimes it can be a little bit difficult for us to predict when we're going to close all of those deals. And I highlighted in Q4 a couple of different areas where we slowed down. One was around Cloud Edge. That's the appliance in small enterprise in Japan. And it was really an unintended consequence from raising the prices. So what we found was our channel partners, we raised the prices early last year, and our channel partners took advantage and did large buys just before that price increase. So we ended up with some softness, but they're retooling up, and we see that resuming as we go into 2024. We'll see that start to come back. In the other area that I'd highlighted was around the Americas. And we had identified this in our December 1st investor conference, that was an area that we were really focused in on. We've done really well in the Americas and in the US in particular at attaching Vision One. But where we need more work is, how can we expand by doing more, as Eva said, platform selling? And what we did was, we have a region, the EMEA region, which is very good at doing platform selling. And we've assigned a number of those people to take on the US. And we've made those changes already. We've put those changes in place. So we feel like we will be able to step up to more platform selling in the US and start to get more of our fair share of the US market. So we feel really good on the top line. On the bottom line, I actually feel even better. We said that we would, through automation, through AI, through some reorganization and restructuring, that we would find ways to remove just over $50 million US in operating expense. And we've done that. So, I know going into it, our operating margins will be substantially higher as a result of that.
And may I add a bit? We make forecasts in yen dollars, yen base, right? In 2023, despite whatever currency movement and despite what was the, we probably don't like the composition of the currency, but at the end, we meet 100% of our forecast revenue growth in yen base. And our cost has been impacted by the exchange rate a lot. But as you can see, we in our analysis, without the restructuring cost and without the actual tax payment we made, we actually still have ordinary income growth, and we met our profit, operation profit targets. So we have very high confidence that in 2024, based on what our forecast is, I think we can meet both of those forecasts in 2024.
ありがとうございます。
Thank you very much.
ありがとうございました。
Thank you very much. I will unmute the next person. When your microphone is unmuted, please state your name and affiliation and ask your question. Hello, this is Sato speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just have one question. Your guidance for this fiscal year is, I guess if you divide the 19.5% up on profit margin, yet you said that you're going to be forecasting 20%. Is this 50 bips difference? Should I care or should I not care? Or is there some message, you know, in between?
Mahendra, unless
I divided the numbers wrong.
No, I think you're doing it. It's just over 19.5%.
Is that gap just basically CFO saying, I want to be a little bit more conservative?
And it's just simple rounding in.
It's just simple rounding.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure because your message is. So maybe there was a little bit of a message from a CFO. My second question, actually, in addition to this, is the Tanaka-san was saying, just looking at the fourth quarter results, especially the top line, I know that you said that Japan's looking at a single digit 2-3%, I guess. And the other one is U.S. Looking at upper end, and the rest is the breadth. And Omika-san basically presented that Japan is finally moving forward with enterprise areas with all of your signature product for 2024. Isn't Japan should be accelerating a little bit more this fiscal year? Because you also had like 2-3% guidance last fiscal year. And Japan hasn't really been growing. So I'm a little bit worried about Japan, especially we're supposed to be getting the PC replacement cycle maybe toward the end of this year. So that should also help move some of your consumer figures, hopefully with the PC replacement cycle. I don't know. Are you looking at a conservatory for Japan where the whole country is supposed to be shifting to DX? And US, I mean, I know you have a lot, you won lots of award over there, but we just don't see the sales numbers. So can you talk about, these two regions for 2024?
I'd like to volunteer to take that. First, for Japan, yes, I share your optimistic about Japan, and I feel we should do better. But frankly, the reason that we're being conservative is Japan's sales structure, sales through the channel, and also just the adoption of the new technology speed. Traditionally, in Japan, is not that fast. So we didn't dare to make that very optimistic progress. But we believe it's the right direction. It's just the distribution channel and the speed of customer adoption. We cannot be that optimistic about Japan. So no problem about the Japan operation. It's just the speed of adoption that we were concerned. And for US, as you can see from our December 1st Investor Day, we did announce, Kevin introduced our new structure in US, and we are a lot of this restructuring was happening in US that we did the whole sales force and our tech support services or the refreshing of the US operation. And we believe after this new structure, US should go back to better growth strategy momentum. So those are the two things that I think I'm aligned with you. I do believe these are the two regions that we should be more optimistic and have more growth. And that's what we lay our investment in.
And actually, the final questions for me is restructuring, especially the people. I'm looking at a page 36, and I know this is like a, you know, a combined number of hiring and letting go, but the number of people for research and development is actually less. And also, looks like you cut numbers from America and also APEC MEA areas, but kept the rest of the areas as it is. So did you cut engineering resources more than sales or technical support? Where is the resource restructuring happening? Because I thought globally, you know, getting engineers, hiring engineers is quite difficult with the resource, especially in the security software space. Where was the actual people restructuring happened?
佐藤さん、一つですね、そこは、数字ですので、一部人。
Well, this number, some of them basically left in January, and that's not reflected yet. So this is, going to be clearer at the end of March. And yes, people leave and people join, without us, restructuring sometimes. Oh, I see. So people have been shuffled in a balanced way across the board. Yes, by March we will know better. Okay?
Yes.
So cost reduction is mostly in the first quarter. Impact of that, yes. As Kevin has just explained, of course, there is some cost associated in terms of a retirement allowance, but most of the costs were accounted for in the fourth quarter. And then in the next quarter, we will see the impact. I see.
Thank you very much for the question. Now we will unmute the next person. Once you're unmuted, please identify. This is Kikuchi of SMBC. Thank you very much for the presentations. There are two questions. In recent results, page 32 of Mr. Negi's presentation, there is the active customer account, and it mentions the subscriptions were flat for this quarter. If that's the case, then subscription revenues will not increase, is the feeling that I get. However, for subscriptions, when it comes to the number of accounts, even if you don't see an increase, does that mean that subscription revenues can still increase? And if that's the case, then I believe that you would be able to achieve your revenue plans, but could you tell us the structure there?
I think the overall structure is that we focus on the existing customer and put more effort on the end expansion. And those expansion are subscription revenue. So yes, you're right. We are, even if we don't add more subscription customer number, we were still able to expand our subscription revenue.
Was that understandable? What about perpetual then? For the fourth quarter, there was a major decrease in perpetual revenue. And do you believe that this decrease will continue to accelerate and continue? Or is it just a one-time temporary phenomena? Could you tell us about this? The perpetual customers are definitely decreasing. And there's about 500,000. But when it comes to the value of customers, it's about 38,000. And so even if we see a decrease in the smaller accounts, if we can continue to increase, then we believe that we should be able to achieve the revenue goals in this area. I see. Let me ask again about this aspect. For the fourth quarter, there had been a temporary decrease, but for this year, you're going to increase by 9% the sales. And do you think that they'll be equally distributed over all four quarters, or will you see more increases in the second half? Do you have any targets in this area of how you intend to achieve your goals?
Kevin, you have any comments on that?
Well, we don't give quarterly guidance, right? And we've already talked about how our business can, in fact, move up and down. But we do see already that Q1, you know, is looking quite healthy. So we do see the normal distribution that we would normally see across our business, and that's definitely the plan.
で、じゃあ、これ補足に言うとですね、今日ちょっと。
To add to that, I mentioned this when I explained about the pre-gap results. When it comes to the larger deals, there may be a concentration of that towards the end of the quarter. And so there are fluctuations by quarter. But we believe that the annual outlook holds. Yes, then in regard to the revenues, I have a second question. In the targets for 2027 in Kevin's material, when it comes to 2027, OP is going to be 100 billion, so it'll double. But between revenue and fixed costs, I think that you can control the fixed costs, but can you really increase the revenues? That's an important point. And by region or by segment or between subscription and perpetual, this 10% increase in the revenue, is there a breakdown or is there some explanation about how this will be realized? If it's by region, there's the expansion by region. But in Japan and America, how can you achieve growth is something that I'd like to ask about.
Thank you for, it sounds like you liked our road to 2027 chart. So thank you for that. What we wanted to do is share with everyone, you know, that we do have a long-term plan. We have lots of details that are built underneath that plan. And we wanted to give this as our North Star. This is where we are moving towards. It does include revenue growth across our segments, across the regions. It does include actually some incremental headcount along the way. So it's not... We are not telegraphing that we will be flat in terms of headcount out through till 2027. So it's not unrealistic. We will be hiring some along the way. So we built that model and that plan in order to give us that North Star. So that's what we are working towards. But we do feel like Eva said it really well when she started to talk about what trend used to be like, very franchise oriented. And now the entire company in the enterprise space is absolutely fixated on Vision One, on landing and expanding our Vision One platform. And I've been here for 15 years. I've never experienced that before where we have the entire company leaning into one area. It's a hot market. We feel we've got the number one platform. We feel like we have a big installed base and we're going to be going after it much more methodically. And so we think we're in a really good spot to be able to achieve the growth numbers that we're talking about.
And I do think that Trend Micro's globalization or our global distribution of the business provide the natural hedging and the natural complement to each other. So maybe just for instance, you know, last year, we totally lost Russia, Ukraine, all those business, and also the second half, I mean, Israel and all the Gaza, all of those business we lost, but we still able to grow and achieve our annual growth. So first, I would say focusing on the annual plan is much better than just, you know, quarterly fluctuation comparison. And also, I believe our global operation is much more resilient than if we just focus on certain areas growth. And that's why we don't provide specific regional growth.
Furthermore, to explain, as Eva has mentioned, we have a large customer base in Japan. Japan is a unique case, but there's some who have only a single solution. But before the global market, there is the know-how, which is AI-based, which we're starting to deploy in Japan. And we can offer accurate advice so that per customer, I refer to them as sensors, but we're seeing more and more necessity for this kind of approach. And since we have this base, and furthermore, now, as a result of the focus on economic security, finally, Japan is starting to make efforts in this area. So the head office had been behind, but now we are seeing things ignited. And here in Japan, we have the formula in place, and we can take advantage of all the activities on a global basis here in Japan. Thank you very much. That's all from my side for questions.
Thank you for your question. I think it's like Shohei. Now we are doubled. You know, we know how to hit higher hit rate in the enterprise business as well as running the run rate business in Japan. So you can do both.
I will unmute the next person, so please state your name and affiliation and ask your question. Yes, I'm Tsuruo. I have two questions. Page 19, Negi-san asked a question, and I just want to clarify. Operating income under 40 billion yen for this fiscal year, and you are buying back shares worth 40 billion and 70% payout ratio, but sometimes you may not achieve that. And the dividend for this fiscal year is going to be lower than 70% payout ratio, or you don't know? Thank you very much for your question. This is a complicated explanation, but when we repatriate profit from overseas, we have to close the books in December, and the dividend may not make that deadline. So where is the profit coming from? What is the structure? How do we repatriate the profit? What has happened to profit in Japan on a standalone basis? So generally speaking, we can sustain 70% payout ratio, but if there is a big profit for a specific subsidiary, but the dividend is not paid for the account closing timing, in that case, we cannot account for that profit. So this is one factor, a problem that we have. So this is why I'm we explained this on the slide. But it is an exceptional situation. So we believe that 70% can be maintained. I see. So for this fiscal year, excluding irregular situations, it's going to be more than 180%? Are you talking about 180 yen? No, 180%. 40 billion yen plus 70% profit after tax. Well, if you combine last year's dividend plus the share buyback, if you combine the two fiscal years, I see what you mean. Well, the total payout ratio will change depending on how you combine from which fiscal year. For FY24, we have the net income, and then the dividend will be paid out based on that. And also, as BOD resolved, we have the 40 billion yen share buyback. So we are actually adding them up to calculate the total return payout ratio. So depending on what kind of combination you make from which fiscal year, maybe there may be some discrepancies. I see. My second question about execution. Headcount reduction is not rare in a global company, I understand. But in Trend Micro's case, I think this has been very rare. And you have a radial web organization. You use AI for your sales activities. And what about the motivation problem for the employees or the transition of a sales force? Do you think that would endanger the profitability or the performance of the company?
Kevin, do you want to address that? I mean,
I think if we make the right decision, actually, the people who stay will have higher motivation. And that is the case that we see.
なるほど。Understood. Thank you very much.